How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, Dr. Jim. We are recording live from HR Transform at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas, and we are interviewing senior and executive people leaders on their best practices when it comes to getting their people ready to lead. So today we have our featured guest is Rachel Kleban. Rachel, welcome to the show. You are the VP of People at OpenPhone. For folks out there, she's a big deal.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Super excited to have this conversation with you. I think before we dive into the main topic, it's going to be helpful for you to offer some context for our listeners so that they get a better understanding of who you are as a person and maybe even what OpenPhone does as a company or a product.
Absolutely. I'll start with OpenPhone. We are a voice over IP phone system for small businesses. So we help really small businesses, think mom and pop, startups, connect with their customers and doing it in a collaborative way with the team. So really fun to be able to support small businesses in that way and also to support a great culture. We're a fully remote team. And I've been with the team about 5 months and really enjoying getting to know them and build out an HR practice there.
So there's a couple of interesting things that you mentioned in your answer that I want to double click on. One, you're a fully remote team. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of out of touch CEOs saying that everybody's got to be in the office to, quote unquote, have a collaborative and team environment. So what's your response to this backlash to remote or hybrid work arrangements by certain CEOs?
Agnostic. I think whatever works for your company is great, but whatever you're going to do it intentionally. If you want people to come to the office, why? If you want people to be remote, how are you going to do that in a way that's really designed for remote interaction, designed for asynchronous work? And we're certainly not perfect, but we're doing a lot to figure out how to both be effective from a work perspective, but also from a culture perspective. How do we stay connected? We just got back from an all company offsite where we got to meet people in person. And so I think it's just about that intentionality of building it the way you need for your company.
So I like your emphasis on being intentional about it, and I can understand the value of being pragmatic. I want to dig in a little bit deeper because I think there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Sure.
And a lot of the narratives around open or hybrid or remote involves a lot of magical thinking. So what I'd like you to do is share with us a little bit of your insights when it comes to getting out of that magical thinking trap. When you say intentionality, what does that look like if you're a remote environment, if you're a hybrid environment, if you're an on-site environment? How does that need to be structured so it's intentional and not magical in thinking?
Yeah, I mean, intentionality actually just means work. It means digging in and saying, what's working, what's not working, what's broken? How does our operating system as a company get designed in a way that meets the needs of how we're working? So an example would be, if you're going to tell people to come in the office, what happens in the office that's unique to coming to the office that makes it worthwhile? I heard somebody say something like, with a purpose, coming in with a purpose. And if you're remote, what are the tools and systems you're using? What are the expectations around connecting synchronously, asynchronously, in person? And so I think it's just like a lot of hard work, honestly.
At your point about find out what's working and see how that can be emphasized, it's in the same vein as playing to your strengths. So if you're looking at figuring out what's going to work, identify the strength of that particular process and then put it into an operation, and that'll make it super effective. So thanks for sharing that. So let's get into the meat of the discussion. One of the big problems that people leader out there has noticed is building that leadership bench strength and building that pipeline into leadership.
Yeah.
But the challenge is this, whether you're talking about individual contributors or first-time managers or even some senior managers, getting people ready to lead is really difficult. So when we're talking about leadership readiness, tell me about the best practice that you have on your radar in your toolkit that gets people ready to lead.
I thought a lot about this, obviously, in preparation. And there's so many things you can do to prepare people to lead. And I think what's always tricky about getting people ready is, how do you do it when you're not doing it? How do you become a great manager when you're not managing people. So I come back to what are the skills or qualities that great managers demonstrate, and how can you build those into your culture for everyone so people are practicing them at every level? And so the one that really came to my mind, where I think great managers are curious and they ask really good questions, right? We know great managers coach. We know that great managers listen, right? And they bring curiosity to every problem. They don't just bring the answer. They teach through their own questioning and their own curiosity. So it's a lot about how do you bring curiosity and asking great questions into the culture as a whole so that everyone's practicing that as they're developing in their career? And how do you model it from a leadership perspective so that people identify that as a skill that is critical for leadership? Because I think that asking a great question is about the most powerful thing you can do as a leader, as anybody. And so I think teaching that skill from early on is something that will pay dividends when people get ready for that next level.
I totally agree with you in terms of building the capacity to ask questions and be curious. How do you do that? Because oftentimes, and let's put it in the perspective of the typical career track, you have individual contributors who are high performers and have done a great job in executing. They get promoted because they're the top performer into some sort of manager or leadership role.
Yeah.
The first time somebody on their team brings something up to their attention, might ask a question or two, and then it's off to the solutioning mode.
Yeah.
So how do you break that habit when you're transitioning from that individual contributor role into that leadership role?
Yeah. I think it's actually not about asking questions. I think asking questions is the outcome. It's about bringing curiosity to every situation. It's about thinking about what perspective do I not have in this conversation, in this room. Now, the way that I've personally developed that is I've built it into competency expectations level by level. I've said, hey, this is an expectation of our culture that you bring curiosity, that you do seek out diverse perspectives, that you do ask good questions. And here's what it looks like as a junior IC, and here's what it looks like as a mid-level IC, and here's what it looks like as a manager. And so as a manager, we're asking you as an expectation to lead with curiosity, to lead with empathy of others' perspectives.
When you talk about doing the thing, leading with empathy, leading with curiosity, let's get real tactical about it. What are some of the resources that you've seen across your career that's been really helpful in communicating that message, maybe some self-study tools? What are things that come to mind that help advance that for an early career leader?
Truly, it's modeling by leadership. That's the number one thing. As much as we hate to admit it, it's the thing that you've got to really push for. One thing that I did, which was really powerful, I was quite proud of this, is companies do AMAs, ask me anything. And I was working at a company that had some culture issues, some maybe lack of curiosity and listening from leadership. And so I set up a TMA, a tell me anything. And I asked leaders to come to a small group of employees with genuine questions. And that's important. I said, you can't showboat this. These are genuine questions you have about our company, our customer, our culture, our business. And I want you to ask those questions and you can't respond. All you get to do is ask the question and listen. And it was a really powerful moment where these leaders showed up with true curiosity and truly listened. And it really shifted things for us in terms of trust in that leadership team. And so for leaders, they went, oh gosh, that really worked. When I just zipped it and listened, that went a long way to building trust with my team. And so that started to shift the narrative in the company.
That's a great idea. I think one of the things that I see as a potential roadblock is the issue of ego. Yeah. And let's be frank here, I'm a guy. And typically, if guys are in leadership positions, they might be in the mindset that, hey, I'm here because I'm like the greatest thing since sliced bread. So when you're putting in that tell me anything policy or plan or activity, which is great, how do you get the hard-headed folks in leadership to put their ego aside?
It's a great question because it has to be really facilitated. There has to be a clear intention of that. The goal is to listen. It's not to respond. Everybody wants to respond. Oh, but you don't know. Oh, you don't understand because you're just a frontline employee. You have to strip that away for something like this to work. And it doesn't mean that you agree with them, that you didn't say something. It just means that you're listening. And you can be intentional about that. I think setting these things up, whether it's a TMA or any other kind of listening activity, you say, I'm going to listen. It doesn't mean that we're going to do your idea, but I'm going to take it all in and I hear you. An employee said this to me one time, and really what a great management lesson. She said, it's not that we want you to do our idea. We just want to be heard. And so I think when you can teach leaders to come to conversations with the ability to just sit with that information and have confidence to know that doesn't mean you're agreeing to anything, then something really powerful happens. It's being about a little bossy with people about saying, no response time.
I really like that. And if I'm taking everything that you said and putting it on a bumper sticker that's targeted at executive and senior leaders, the bumper sticker would say this: shut up and listen, dummy. So great stuff. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We're just scratching the surface on this conversation. If people want to continue the conversation and just connect with you and understand a little bit more about the stuff that you've been working on and have done, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
I think LinkedIn's the best way. I try to share my ideas there and talk about my role at Open Phone, some projects I'm doing on the side. Would love to connect with people.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Rachel. When I think about this conversation, I think it was a really fun conversation. When we're looking at solving the issue of getting people ready to lead, probably one of the most critical skills that any individual contributor or early stage manager can cultivate is the ability to really be curious and actively listen. So what that means in a practical way is that you cannot rush into offering solutions or problem solving. Oftentimes, it's not even about the person wanting you to take the thing and make it real. It's just the opportunity to be heard about what's going on. And I think that's absolutely critical. And I appreciate you sharing that with us. For everybody that's hung out with us and listened to this conversation, we appreciate you hanging out. If you haven't already done so, make sure you join the HR Impact community. You can find that at engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in every week where we'll have senior and executive leaders joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build a high-performing team. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.